Bible says here in chapter 11, it's kind of it's another chapter about kind of the natural man and the things in the eyes of man, and it gives us some exhortations about living a very natural life. And when I say that, I mean things that we ought to do as just as to be good citizens, good mankind. And the first thing here, and we're going to talk about this morning, is this casting thy bread upon the waters. And this thought, if you would, and here's the basic summarization, and I'm going to give this to you at the beginning, but it's the short-term satisfaction or the long-term satisfaction. Okay, so it's a short term, which is bread. Okay, the bread would be the short term. Now, you know, you could have, let's say for instance, and I meant to bring some and I didn't, but you've got a piece of bread in your hand, okay? And you can eat that bread if you're hungry, or you can take that bread and the Bible says, cast it upon the waters. Cast it upon the waters. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to cast thy bread upon the waters? When I'm thinking about casting thy bread upon the waters, I don't really ever foresee getting that bread back because I don't like soggy bread, all right? So I don't really see getting that bread back. And, you know, I don't know why they use the term bread. I mean, you know, why couldn't they... Why couldn't they use a different term instead of bread? I don't know. I didn't dive into that a whole lot. But he said, cast thy bread upon the waters. So it's something that's a very, you know, a short-term thing. You know, I don't know how long bread actually keeps for. Some of you ladies could probably tell me if you make a loaf of bread, how long that loaf of bread's good for, okay? Sometimes you go to the store, and I think, I don't know why, but it seems like sometimes store-bought bread lasts actually longer than homemade bread. It kind of makes you wonder what they're putting in that bread to make it last longer, okay? But a fresh loaf of bread, you know, I don't know, what, 3 days, 4 days, something, before it starts getting kind of hard, and it's not that you can't eat it, it's just not as palatable, all right? So you've got a short amount of time where you can consume this commodity, if you would. And the Bible says, cast thy bread upon the water. So it's kind of I'm hungry. I can either eat this bread now or I can cast it on the waters. Now, what does that mean? And the second part of that verse kind of explains this. So we've got the short-term satisfaction of bread. And then in the second part of this verse, the Bible says, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, I've got written in my Bible above bread, short-term satisfaction. And after many days, I've got written long-term satisfaction. Okay? And we can use this in a very practical, monetary sense. You know, any investment that you do, almost no investment monetarily has an immediate dividend, an immediate return on your investment, okay? Most investments, if you're to invest in a market or into some kind of thing, you're going to have to wait for a while for that investment to give you dividends back. And usually, the longer you wait, the more dividends you get back, because that money has time to accumulate. And I'm not a financial person. That's not what we're talking about. I'm just trying to make it make sense, okay? And so those things that you invest in are generally, you know, everybody's looking for, you know, the lottery is not a good investment. You know why people do the lottery? Is because they're not patient enough. You know, if they would take all the money that they actually spent on the lottery and... You know, it cracks me up. You know, you'll watch people, and I hate waiting for people at the gas station when they're buying the lottery tickets, all right? I can't stand it. I don't even mind waiting, you know, if they're buying a pizza or they're buying, you know, something like that, I don't mind, but lottery tickets just kills me, okay? And what they do is, you know, you'll watch them. They'll buy a lottery ticket for $5 or whatever, and they'll get... you know, they win, $10, okay? And so, yeah, man, they made $5 really quick. But you know inevitably what they'll do? They'll come back in and cash that lottery ticket in and then buy $10 more worth of lottery tickets and lose every bit of it, okay? That's what they do. But what is that? They're trying to invest their money, and everyone's hoping that they're going to make it big and make, you know, 340. I just saw a headline here. Excuse me. Hope my voice lasts through Bible school. I would do that, but I'd be slobbering the whole time while I'm talking. So thank you, though, brother. What happens is, I just lost my train of thought here. Oh, but they're investing in, I just saw a guy the other day. He had a fortune cookie from like one of those cheap Chinese places, all right? And he put the numbers of his fortune cookie on the lottery ticket, and he won $344 million, you know? So everybody go to Chinese today, all right? You never know what you might get. You can go get Chinese, China Walk, something. But it just shows you, it goes to show you how many people will invest in something that they want right away. They want to scratch it off and within 5 minutes know if they've won, okay? But a true investment, and you know, you look at any of the guys that are have the know-how in investing in markets, they'll never tell you, you know, to play the lottery. To them, the lottery, a guy I know put, a guy I know had this flag, and he wrote on this flag, he said, the Hoosier Lottery is in the end is tax on stupid people. And I thought that was pretty good. You know, it is. You're investing in something that you'll never see, thank you. You'll never see the dividends on. And so we understand that in a very practical sense. Some of you may have, you know, the Roth, the IRAs and stuff like that, where you invest in as when you're working. And why? It's not that you couldn't use some of that money at the moment. You know, when you're younger, you know, kind of my age, things are tight sometimes. And that extra, you know, if you put back think about this. If you put back $100 a week, and that's a lot of money, okay? But if you could put back $100 a week, excuse me, I'm going to get a drink of this. If you could put back $100 a week, you know, you're $5,200 at the end of the year. And then you take that money and you invest it in something else. And you think about if you didn't touch that money for 20 years, how much money you would have. Okay? Now, in a financial sense, that all makes sense. And you know how these things work. But sometimes we think about that we got to do that with our money. But we don't think about that with the way we live our lives. Okay, the way we live our lives. in verse number 2, the Bible says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now, you say, what is this? I think of that story, the story in the Bible where remember the servant that his master got upset with him? And he said, well, I'm going to be kicked out of my master's house. So I'm going to call all these people in. And he basically made friends. The Bible says he made friends with the mammon, with those in the world. Why did he do that? So that when he fell on hard times, he had a friend out there that could help him, okay? But we see in the Bible a lot of people, and this happens, and I've done it. We sacrifice the future on the immediate. We want it right now. And most things that people do, you know, a pastor has said this before, and I think it's very true. Sin usually isn't always necessarily a bad thing. The sin, what you do, you know, there's obvious some things. You know, you shouldn't kill somebody, okay? All right? Those things. You shouldn't commit adultery. You know, you shouldn't do those things. But, you know, like, let's say fornication. You know, for a young person, fornication can ruin their life. Okay, the act of fornication. But if they wait until the proper time, okay, it's no longer fornication. God approves that. Does that make sense? But it's a good thing done at the wrong time. Okay? It's a good thing done at the wrong time. And we see that a lot. Let's go to Genesis. I want to show you a few examples here. Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter number 16. We see this in the life of Abraham. At this point, Abraham has already been promised seed or a lineage that would come from Abraham. And that lineage would come through his wife, a proper relationship, okay? The proper relationship, it would come through his wife, Sarah. Excuse me, my goodness. Wow. It would come through his wife, Sarah. Well, they got tired of waiting. They got tired of waiting. And in Genesis chapter number 16, we read in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, if it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee," which I don't really get all that completely, "but I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee." So this was Sarah's idea, which, and then she kind of blames it on Abraham in that other verse, okay? So Sarah originally came up with this thought, according to what I read here in the Bible. But you know what? This all, you know, the Arab nations that Israel has so much problem with today, all those Arab nations came from this line of Ishmael. If Abraham just would have been patient for what God said he promised, you know, the Bible's full of the promises of God. And if when we're not patient, we want, well, I just want it right now. I want it right now. Well, God says, no, you need to wait. You need to wait. And many times as Christians, we're like, well, we want it right now. And so we're not willing to sacrifice the immediate for the future. We want the future. We'll sacrifice the future because we don't see the future. Okay? None of us can see the future. You know, there's a lot of men and ladies that aren't sitting here this morning that would be in this class. And they sacrifice, and you folks have too. You've sacrificed your immediate many times for a future that sometimes you'll never even see. You know, that the people that started Blessed Hope Baptist Church, a lot of them aren't here today. And they gave life savings, life, you know, I'm not saying that they lived in abject poverty, but they gave the ability to live maybe at a different comfort level for my generation. They sacrificed the immediate for the future that they never did see. Abraham here, he sacrificed the future for what he wanted at the moment. Okay? Let's go to, we're in Genesis, flip over to chapter number 25. Genesis chapter number 25. We see another sale, if you would, in the life of Esau. Bible says verse number 30, Genesis chapter 25 verse 30. "And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So, Brother Chad, how are we to keep from, you know, what's one of the important truths about keeping the proper perspective? Because many times you do have to have the proper perspective. You don't, you look at a dollar bill and we think, you know, well, it used to be a dollar bill. Well, now it's like a dollar 20. But, well, I'm going to, you know, a McDouble from McDonald's sounds good, or whatever it could be. And you think, well, this sounds good. You know, if you did that once a day, every day of the year, and you spent a dollar on either a drink or a hamburger or a candy bar, you know, you're $365. And you don't think about the $365 when you're looking at that dollar bill. All you think about is like, man, I'm thirsty. My kids, mommy, I'm starving. You've all heard that. I'm about to die. It's like, no, you ate half an hour ago, okay? They're bottomless pits. But you, and this is where Esau is. Jacob, I'm about to die. I'm starving, okay? And Jacob, he's a conniver, okay? And he said, all right, how hung, you know, and he put it pretty high. He said, you sell me your birthright. Now, the birthright was a big deal. The birthright meant he got, you know, he got the honors of the firstborn. He got all the wealth that came as far as part of being part of the firstborn. And so Jacob's, the Bible says, Esau despised. That means he saw no value in. He saw no value in. And I think one of the important things is that you do see the value in what you're casting. Okay? I don't think Ecclesiastes is saying, well, just give away all your junk because it really isn't worth anything. Okay? No, it's talking about you giving away something that would benefit you. Okay? You're giving that away. All right? So you have to see the value in that. Esau did not see the value in his birthright. The Bible says in verse 34 that Esau despised his birthright. He wanted to give up the future, everything in the future, for the immediate. Okay? You think about in that regard, you think about birthrights, you think about the prodigal son. You know what the prodigal son gave up? Pretty much everything. Pretty much everything. You know, I hurt for these young people, for the young people that want to go out, and they call it the term the world has for it. To paint it over and to make it look better is sowing their wild oats. They're going to go sow their wild oats. You know what they're going to reap? Wild oats. They can go sow their wild oats as much as they want, but they will reap wild oats. Okay? But the problem is when they get to their reaping stage, they don't want to reap the wild oats. They want to reap what everyone else is reaping. But the problem is those young people have thrown that away. They've sacrificed the you know, for short-term pleasure. And that's what the prodigal son did. I'm going to go to the far country and I'm going to live it up big and I'm going to have all this stuff. And it's, you know, I can still go home. And he did. He went home. And he got some nice stuff. He got a fatted calf, a new change of clothes. You know, he kind of had a party thrown because people were glad to see him. But he never would get what he should have had coming because he wasn't patient for it. He didn't wait. He didn't stay patient in the will of God. And when he went out of the will of God, he sacrificed some things. Okay? And so we see that in his life. Go to Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to probably finish a little early because I don't want to strain your ears with my voice. Matthew chapter 26. This is probably one of the saddest things. Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse number 14. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, look at this next statement, what will ye give me? What's this worth to you, basically? How much is it worth if I give him up? Okay? You know what he's doing? He's eating his bread. That's what he's doing. He's eating his bread. What's this worth? And the petty price that he sold. Now, I know 30 pieces of silver was, you know, that's probably significant. But what he sold, you know what he sold out? His soul for the immediate. Okay? Now, I want to show you something here in just a moment. But and he said, and I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Jump over to verse 47, same chapter. Bible says, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. All right, now jump over to chapter 27. So we see that Judas here has betrayed Jesus. He's basically eating his bread now instead of casting it on the waters. Okay? And this, we're going to look at what happens. Look at chapter 27, verse number 3. Bible says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. That's important. He repented himself. He was just sorry because he felt kind of bad. Okay? He felt dirty here and very well should have. I don't care if it was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I don't want you to take that disrespectfully, but that was an innocent man. Okay, so in any regard, the very human, your conscience, when you said this man has done something and that man, he lied about it, or he betrayed him, okay, he should have felt bad. But it wasn't a godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Okay, do you know that every one of the disciples betrayed Jesus? Not maybe to the same degree, but they, everyone. How many times did Peter betray Christ? Verbally, he betrayed him 3 times in a row. We have record of that. But what was the difference that Peter, you know, because they both, the Bible says that they both departed. Look at verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. What's he doing? He's bringing back the bread. Hey, I don't know. This wasn't all it was cut up to be. Okay? I don't know if I can live with this. And it came to find out he wouldn't be able to live with this. And the Bible says, verse number 4, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Committed suicide. But what's the difference between Judas and Peter? Well, I think Peter got things right. Peter went back to Christ and he got things right. Judas was just upset because he failed himself. Okay? Now, what was the difference? We'll go back. I need to get back to that. That's kind of a rabbit trail. What was the difference? Well, you know, why did Judas decide he wanted the silver that would appease him right away? Okay? But he wasn't looking at at the long term. He wasn't looking at what is this going to cost me in the future? You know, the prodigal son, he wanted the birth. He wanted what was coming to him. You know, give me what is mine. He wanted it right away. He wasn't willing to wait for what God had for him. You know, in our, you know what tithing is? Tithing, and I've talked to this before about Abraham. Tithing is giving up what you have in your hand for the blessings of God that you don't see. That's what tithing is. You know, every one of you could figure out something good to do with 10% of your money, or 12, or 15, or whatever you God lays on your heart to give. Every one of us can, okay? It's not, there's a lot of other things that we could do with 10% of your total income, okay? But what do? We give, we cast our bread upon the water. Well, God told me to. God, I'm just trusting you. I got more bills than I've got budget, all right? You come to the end of the month and there's more you have to pay than what you have coming in. But God says, you give me this and I'll rebuke the devourer. You know, I've seen people that that won't tithe. And you know, it's always, they have the worst luck as far as financially that you'll ever see. And I'm not just talking about financially. You know, these young people, you know what they have to do as a young person? And we all have to do this. You got to be willing to say, okay, I don't understand this immediate and why I need to give this up. You know what going to Bible college for a year is? Listen to me, and this will help you, okay? You know what going to Bible college for me was? It's casting your bread upon the water. It's not that you don't have something that you could do with that year of your life. But you're throwing it out there and saying, God, I kind of look at it as a tithe. You know what the first fruits, God wants the first fruits of our lives. Okay? Encourage these young people if they're going to go to Bible college. If you don't go that first year, I don't know what the percentage is. If you don't go right out of college, you'll never go. Okay? More than likely. So what is that for these young people? It's saying, God, I don't really understand, but I'm giving you my life. And you know what? God always has a way of bringing it back around. And we read in Ecclesiastes that after many days, what does it say? After many days, you're going to find it. You're going to find it. You say, Bro Chad, I don't understand why we have to give up the immediate. Well, it's because God has something better, but he wants us to trust him. And I've told you a story about Abraham, and we'll be done. When God promised Abraham Isaac, and Abraham said, God, how am I going to know that you're going to give me a child? And God said, what do you got, basically? And Abraham looked down, and he had some stuff. He had a heifer and a she-goat and a ram and a turtle dove. And God said, I want you to give me that. What was Abraham doing? He was taking what he did have, the immediate, and putting it on the altar and saying, all right, this is yours. And then God gave him that in the future. Encourage these young people. Pray for these young people. You know, every one of you have been in those shoes where you see what you have right now. You see the opportunities that you have right now. But many times it's giving up. You know, I could be farming for anybody in this area. All right? But I gave that up, and I don't regret it one moment. I don't. I get to come up here and do this stuff, okay? And it's not just about this. It's about being able to see young people get saved. I'm getting ready to go. I don't know. I think there's 11 young people signed up that we're going out to Arizona and do a Bible school for little Navajo kids that would never really probably ever have the opportunity to be able to do that. You know, if I was doing what I wanted to do, I'd be too busy to go on these things. Okay? What do you have to do? You got to give up that immediate for the future. Okay? Casting your bread upon the water. And give a portion to 7. And also to 8. Just give another one out. Give another one out. Why? For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now I know that's, you know, there's some very practical, there's some good financial things here. All right? I'm talking about what has God asked you to give that sometimes we're like, well, yeah, but I need this for what? For so you can eat it right now? Okay? You can eat, and we see that, you know, Esau gave up everything. Esau gave up everything. Because, and honestly, of the two guy, the two young men, I kind of like Esau. He was kind of the man's man. Jacob was kind of a sissy boy, in my opinion, okay? He really was. But Esau said, I got to have it now. I'm about to die. You want to do something funny sometime? You can, I've done this with kids before, and you're probably going to be like, Brother Chad, that's wrong, all right? But you can take a pocket full of change, and if the kids have change, you'll be like, all right, I'll give you 2 pennies for that 1 nickel. And you know what to them? Wow. I get 2 for 1. Yeah. And then you take your nickel and you say, I'll give you 1 nickel. See how big this nickel is? I'll give you 1 nickel for that little dime. Wow. It's bigger. And you know what? You know what they don't realize is that they're giving up more for less. And listen, we do it too. God's got promises in the Word of God, but if we're not careful, we see what the devil throws out. All the lights. Wow, look at that. And we give up. I don't know if it was here, but a guy talked about this little girl that was scared of snakes. I mean, deathly terrified of snakes. And she got this quarter from her mom, and they went to this circus, and she wanted to spend this quarter on something that she really, really wanted to do. She's terrified of snakes, but she loved little babies. And she's going through all the carnival, and she's looking at all the games you could play and all the things that you could do and all the things that she could see, and she looks at the Ferris wheel. Well, but I've only got one. And then finally she sees this, she goes over and she hears this guy saying, come one, come all, come see the mother of 1,000 babies. She thought, wow, I'd like to see the mother of 1,000. I love babies. So she went up and she gave the guy her quarter and she went in there, and it was a pit full of snakes. And it had one large snake in a pit full of snakes. She screamed and ran back. You know what she did? She gave up. She gave up something for something that she hated, that she despised. Listen, you know, we've all been given something. We've all been given something. Don't throw it away. You know, I hate it for some of the young people, and I try to tell our young people, and even Masters Club, listen, if you're not careful, you will one day become what you've always said you never would be. How many kids, I would never do that. I would never smoke pot. I would never, and you can put whatever you want there, but because the immediate has such an allure, they're willing to throw away their 2 pennies, all right? Or they're willing to throw away their quarter for 5 pennies, okay? Because they don't know the value of what they've got. All right, so let's be careful as Christians that we always make sure that we're casting our bread upon the water. Remember that God's got promises, and whatever God's promises, it will come back. It may take it a while, but it will come back. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, as we, honestly, this week, kind of Bible school is casting our bread upon the water. We're spending time, we're spending money. We've spent a lot of time already for something, and God, I pray that you just help us to be able to sacrifice the immediate for our future and not the other way around. Lord, I pray that you bless us and help us, help our young people, and help these folks here this morning. Thank you for their sacrifice, Lord, that we have these buildings, that we have this ministry. And God, I thank you for them. In Jesus' name.